Hi, everyone. Welcome back for another episode of Localize This, a podcast in which we explore the nuances of video game localization, culturalization, and publishing in global markets through interviews with key players in the video game industry. I'm David Lakritz, President and CEO of Language Automation, Inc. and LAI Global Game Services. With me is Michael Sundman, our podcast producer and co-moderator. Michael is also the creator and voice of Gaijin Goomba and Game Exchange, which explores the intersection of culture and gaming, which you can find on YouTube. Well, we hope everyone had an amazing and successful GDC. For me, it was great catching up with old friends, seeing new faces, checking out the new tech, and of course, the parties were fabulous, as always. Today on the podcast, we're very pleased to be joined by Christine Love of Love Conquers All Games. Christine is an indie developer, artist, writer, wearer of many hats of all shapes and sizes. And among Christine's games, she's probably best known for Analog: A Hate Story, which was an IndieCade 2012 finalist. Christine's focus is the visual novel genre, which poses interesting challenges for localization given the level of cultural context. So we're very happy to have a chance to talk to her on the podcast today. Christine, welcome.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
The visual novel is an interesting genre. Can you tell us a little more about Love Conquers All and the kinds of games you make?
I do very narrative-heavy games, games that are just interested in telling stories. A lot of that has so far been a lot of visual novels, which are sort of very text-heavy games. It's just sort of an interest in using video games as a medium specifically to tell stories.
Mm-hmm. All right. So how did you get into gaming?
Completely by accident. I mean, I've always been interested in games, and I always saw myself fiction, and I sort of started experimenting with more visual stuff, and the next thing I know, people are telling me that my visual novels are games. So I'm like, well, that wasn't the intent, but games are a pretty interesting medium, so sure, I'll run with it. And ever since then, I've been trying to get more into, making things that play with interaction, things that are not just straight up lots of text.
Well, you certainly accomplished that in your games, what I know of them. And in fact, one thing that's very interesting about your games like Analog, A Hate Story, and Hate Plus, they have a Korean theme, which I found kind of unusual. Why did you choose Korea, and was that partly a marketing decision?
It was definitely not a marketing decision at all. It was purely out of personal interest. My game-making philosophy has always been to try to make things that I think will only appeal to me, because in my experience, when I've done that, people respond very well. They notice the sincerity and go with that. So it was just personally, I was interested in Korean history and this particular era of Korean history where it was very brutally oppressive to be a woman in. And I just wanted to explore that. And I figured so long as I have a sincere exploration of something, people will find that appealing without trying to specifically market it towards, what you think might sell.
Interesting. Just a related question. Where did your interest in Korea come from?
It's hard to say, but it certainly captured my imagination because it's not, it's sort of overlooked. Even studying East Asia and history, you study a lot about China, you study a lot about Japan, and Korea is just totally overlooked. And I don't know. I don't like overlooking things.
Interesting.
So what were some of the challenges localizing your games into Korean?
There was definitely a lot. A core premise of this game is that there's a language barrier. This is a game that's about languages. It's looking at the way that language was used historically to block access. Historically, there is nobles in Korea use Chinese characters, which are very difficult to read, and as a sort of ways of restricting literacy. So the game features that significantly, and actually translating this into Korean was certainly a bit of a challenge. We had, for example, the name of the main character, she's the Pale Bride, and it's based around this sort of linguistic mistranslation in story. That's the presentation of it. But when it came time to, for an English audience, they can just take it on faith. Sure, bad translation. Understand. But when it's an audience that actually, speaks the language, we need to actually explain, we need to figure out how to sell this as a language thing, as a bad translation. And making that very deliberate was definitely it definitely took a lot of work on the translator's part.
Wow. Well, after having gone through that, are there any particular taboos that Western developers should avoid when going into the Korean market that you've learned from your experience?
I haven't come up across that. Certainly, I was very worried about this because it's approaching a historical subject and it has things to say about this. And I was very worried that, you know, possibly I might just be totally off base. I might be misinterpreting the history, but it seemed to go over well.
That's great. And did you get any feedback from the, you know, Korean gamers?
I did. It was largely very, very positive. I've had people saying that they're very happy to see a feminist take on this subject. Mm-hmm. That is not very common in Korea, and that made me kind of happy.
Are you using different monetization strategies for the Korean versions?
So the Korean version is sort of in an odd place where it's a PC game in a market that doesn't really have, where PC games aren't really a very big thing. This was sort of never the, bringing it into Korean was never like a big money maker. I figured it would, you know, pay itself off, and it did. It was worth doing so. But mostly it was localized into Korean as just to make sure that it underwent scrutiny from a Korean audience, because I feel like if you're making something about someone's history or culture, it's important that you actually put yourself in a position where you can get called on that if you're doing it wrong. So the thing about like PC gaming is just it's not very big there, and there's not a lot I could do to really sell it very well on that. In terms of I'm also moving into Japanese, which is like a strictly commercial thing, and we're doing mobile ports, which are actually have a better chance of reaching an audience there. But for me, I was more interested in being scrutinized rather than making a lot of money off this localization.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned Japanese, Christine. I think we'd be very interested to find out a little bit more about your experiences localizing into Japanese, in particular, how that was different in going into Korean.
It's been extremely different. Visual novels are, especially compared to, you know, the reception in the West, visual novels are really well known in Japan. They invented the medium, and mm-hmm. most of what visual novels are made come out of Japan still. So there's certainly a lot more expectations that we have to live up to. There's a very much higher standard. And the other thing is just the linguistic nature that we had trouble with in the Korean translation, just like it's even more so in Japanese, because you have to make sure you're filtering it right. Mm. And also you need to make sure that you're not inadvertently doing something that's sort of mangling the history in the process, because certainly, Japanese-Korean relationships can be somewhat touchy. It's very important to get everything right.
I'm sure it was, because it is interesting that you're at the cross. You're sort of combining two different kinds of elements. One is a story about Korean history, and then you're localizing it into Japanese. One just related question, when you were doing that, did you have to convert any of the historical elements or modify any of the historical elements to make them more acceptable or suitable for the Japanese market?
I didn't want to modify any of the elements, because they are based on real history, and I think it's important to, you know, to stay true to that. Mm-hmm. But something that did come up was we looked in the first draft of this translation, and because the person who'd done that had very reasonably not a lot of experience with Korean history, there was actually like a lot of problems with it. So it was very important to us that we found someone who could edit Japanese and also had an understanding of the history involved here and Korean culture in order to bring this back into line.
All right. Well, I understand that Japan and Korea don't exactly have great relations, but I also know many aspects of Korea, such as K-pop and Korean drama actors, are becoming really popular. So, what was your experience bringing a visual novel game about Korea into the Japanese market?
I think the amount of tension there certainly makes it important to like get stuff right. Like, just this was like our big motivating factor to make sure that we are like getting the history and it's actually being translated correctly. But I wasn't too worried about this. And just to be sure, like I took the game to a Tokyo Game Show. We showed off a demo, and the feedback was really positive. No one was really off put by the Korean theme of it. On the contrary, it's being from Japan, you do actually have a bit more of an understanding than the Western audience. There's like the immediate in. They see this, and it's not quite as alien as it is to English-speaking audiences.
So we've heard that Kakao is the 800-pound gorilla in the Korean market when it comes to a distribution platform. Is that really the only choice for Western games going into Korea? And what does that mean in practical terms?
I wouldn't say, that's the only option, but looking into it, I decided that this was just trying to distribute, as an actual commercial venture. I was actually trying to, make this a big success in Korea was not really worth it. It's too different. There's too much work involved in bringing this to platforms that people in Korea will actually use. It's not really, and it's still even after all that, it's still not a big market. So you're going through a lot of hoops to reach what is fundamentally just not the largest market for a game that's already very niche. And just going it over, no distribution, no distributor really seemed like it would be worth the amount of strife it would take to actually get through that.
Hmm. Well, it almost sounds like your games have been a labor of love, but it sounds like they've been very successful as well within that within your expectations. So, and obviously you won the Indiecade Award, so your efforts have been recognized by others as well. So that's great. Well, we wanted to thank you, Christine, for a really interesting discussion about not only Korean localization, but Japanese localization, and for sharing your insights and experience with your own games. And we'd like to thank you, our listeners, for following Localize This. We welcome your comments, feedback, so feel free to send any questions that you have or comments or suggestions to us on Twitter at Language Auto Inc., or you can visit our Facebook page, or you can just email us at podcast@lai.com. We look forward to sharing more interviews with you from localization specialists around the world in upcoming episodes. And until then, see you next time.